Morning, everybody. So, what's the world coming to? There are plenty of things happening today that might lead you to ask this question. There's terrorism and global warming, drug abuse, there's child abuse, child obesity, children being born with AIDS, online identity theft, online porn, the staggering increase of meth labs across our country, probably in a home near you, binge drinking, drinking and driving, driving while distracted with all sorts of things, textbooks in schools presenting evolution as fact, and Genesis thought of as a 50-chapter fairy tale. We're supposed to save the whale and save the spotted owl and the rainforest. Now, and all these are fine, noble pursuits. But at the same time, 125,000 babies are being killed every day worldwide. And in the eyes of some, it's for the sake of the environment. We're supposed to allow homosexuality and same-sex marriage in the spirit of tolerance, while traditional ideals are not tolerated. There are movements against nativity scenes in public in several communities across the country. And the Ten Commandments, well, they're just treated like 10 suggestions. And not just by unbelievers. It's rubbing off on the Christians, too. Christians are beginning to doubt the inerrancy of Scripture, the creation of the world in 6 24-hour days, and the virgin birth, and many other things. It seems that Satan has more than just his foot in the door. Yes, there's plenty out there to lead us to ask, what's the world coming to? Today's message, though, is not about all of these bad signs. Today's message is about exactly what the world is coming to. The world is coming to an end. Now, yesterday marked the beginning of the Advent season when we look for Jesus' first coming. The week before was the last week in the church season, the church year, where we are reminded of the end times. And what I'd like to do today is take a look at 7 Bible passages that relate to the event that we have come to know as Judgment Day. Passage 1 is from Matthew. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. I highlighted the word all. From all corners of the globe, all people will be gathered, even those that have died. No one will be missed, no one will be missing. And focus now on the word sheep. If I am a sheep, it's his doing, not my own. It was the good shepherd who said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Passage 2 is also from Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. The first time Jesus came in, you know, such low humility, few recognized who he was in that manger, and even later on the cross. But just wait until he comes again in all of his glory, and no one will fail to recognize him then. All will bow down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Passage 3 is from Luke. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. You know, Jesus is coming whether I think about it or not. Christ is coming whether I'm ready or not. Nothing is more certain on this earth than the fact that Christ will return. And yet, nothing is more uncertain than the time in which he will return. We like to predict things as humans. I saw the 5-day forecast. Apparently today's the cold day this week. Starting tomorrow, we get a warming trend. 20s, maybe even 30s by the end of the week. So we can predict some things, but this This we can't predict. And people have tried, as a chapel speaker a couple weeks ago mentioned. We've tried to predict this one and never get it right. Passage 4 is from 2 Peter. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now there's real global warming for you. And it's going to happen. So are you ready? Are your bags packed spiritually? Passage 5 is from Mark. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Jesus is talking about a spiritual sleeping here. And to avoid the spiritual sleeping requires constant packing. I need regular use of the gospel in word and sacrament for Christ to be packed in my heart, so to speak. I can't just pack once and put it in the closet and leave it there and forget about it and expect that to be good enough. The next passage is very similar from Luke. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. We've all heard the parables relating to the anguish and the regret of those who were careless and not ready when the time came. So this is serious business. But for the believers in Christ, it's a time to look forward to, as stated in 1 Thessalonians. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So, what do those 7 passages tell us to do? Well, to get ready, for one thing. And to watch vigilantly, being spiritually awake. And to help others, encourage others with these things. In other words, get busy waiting. For example, if you see somebody, a friend, perhaps slipping into a societal trend that you know is wrong, then help him out of it. Sometimes a friend says what his friend does not want to hear. But speak out against acts that are immoral or ungodly. Stick up for the truth. Stand up for Jesus. Help people to see that there is more than just life on this earth, that there is something better yet to come, that Christ is coming again. And while you're at it, be vigilant that you yourself aren't led astray by what's out there. After all, we are children of the light. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. A lot of people have fears that the world is coming to an end and that we are causing it. They're worried about this hole in the ozone getting bigger, letting through harmful UV rays. Maybe this could be the end. We're going to get fried? Or how about World War III? Some worldwide nuclear holocaust. Could this be the way of the end of the world for us? Some predict that global warming will make our polar ice caps melt, raising our oceanic levels up another 20 feet, obliterating our coastal regions and their populations. We have a lot of people living on seacoasts worldwide. Maybe this could be the end? No, I don't think so. We should be really good stewards of our earth and take care of what's been given to us. We should stop wasting so much and recycle more and take better care. But at the same time, we should look at the bigger picture. Someone is in control. Even though it may appear to some that our planet is deteriorating spiraling out of control, it really isn't going to be destroyed by man. It's kind of arrogant, in fact, I think, to A, believe that there is no God that is in control of all things in the world, and B, to believe that we, as man, can destroy it, what God has created. I think God is reserving that day of destruction for Himself. So, go out there, into that mission field, let your light of Christianity shine, be vigilant against all that's bad in the world, and don't be part of it. Don't get attached to it. Instead, get busy waiting and look forward to the day when Christ comes again. As John says in Revelation, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.'" We sing about this with a couple of verses on the screen.